Well, do I not got any music? There it goes. I swear I'm going to fire the band. I'm going to fire the band, and it must be Rob's fault. Now I can't get Rob. All right. How you doing tonight, Rob?
So far, so good, man. Just
all right.
Eating an ice cream sandwich. Sorry.
If you didn't know, you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. That music is what it sounds like. And I'm Chip Gibson, Tree Hugger. That's Rob DeVore, the Bad Back Cast, host of our Tuesday night show. And joining us here on Buzzard's Row. Also, we have with us, I don't know, do you need a new name, Bill? Like, you know, like One-Eyed Bill or something like that? But
no.
Not tonight? It's Haywood. It's Bill Howard from Tampa, our resident picture taker. And they're going to get better now, right? You can take better pictures.
Yeah, now I can see what I'm shooting.
You're always trying to focus in. God damn, I can't get it.
What, do you have a cataract or something?
Well, yeah, in 2008 I had a cataract in my right eye, and I had it removed, and they also did my left eye. Well, over time I've had what's called a secondary cataract develop on the back of my eye, and both of them, but my right one was really, really bad, and it just got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore, so I went in Monday, and they did an evaluation and said, yeah, it's what you got, and we can fix it right here in the office. I'm like, what? Yeah.
No kidding.
So they
Dude, you're not old enough to have
tapped
a
it with a laser, and I was done.
Yeah.
You're not old enough to have a cataract. Come on. What is it? Like some sort of a...
Apparently
weird
I was.
Thing? Wow. That's weird. Never heard of that.
Well, it's good that you're fixed and gonna get the other one done, right?
Yeah, I get the other one done Tuesday next. So.
Cool, man. Can you video
there's
it?
There's no recovery periods or anything like that. I mean, they do it in the office. You're done. They give you some eye drops, and that's it.
Yeah, I had my eyes lasered and had a buddy drive me down there. They put me under the laser. It was kind of weird. You know, it was kind of like really psychedelic while they were doing it. But they did both of my, you know, when they did both of them, I went home, took a nap, woke up, could see a mile, man. It was beautiful. So,
yeah, I could tell a difference right there in the office.
Yeah.
So I was happy.
I got faith in medical science, man. They're going to come up with a solution to this big head I've got one day. So. Also joining us here on Buzzard's Row is Mark Wheeler, the landing crew from Virginia Beach. He's the host of our Wednesday night show. What's up, landing crew?
What's up and stuff?
You puffing stuff, man. All right. And just joining us in here also, the man with the golden voice, it's Mr. Becker. How are you?
No pressure at all. Good evening,
no
everybody.
Pressure, man. It'd be terrible, man, if you had like laryngitis. Hello, how are you?
Well, actually, I almost do. So.
You almost do? You've been yelling at people?
I've been saving it all day, man, just for the show. So I hope it's worthwhile.
Get a little throat spray and stuff, man.
Yeah,
there we go. Here, I'll pour you one, man. All right.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate having my back like that.
Wonderful, man. So Dee will catch up with us here in a little bit. But, hey, I wanted to let everybody know that it's easier now to find your way to the show thanks to the guy with the grape as big as mine, Mr. Yak Sushi. Ooh, yeah. kayakfishingradio.com/live, and that'll take you right to the show if you haven't found it before. But kayakfishingradio.com/live. And also an easy way to find out what you should be buying for your friends at this time of year. It's coming up Christmas, holidays, Hanukkah, however you celebrate. It is the time for giving. And our friends at Yak Angler, yakangler.com/Christmas, and it'll take you to the gift-giving guide of the season for all of your Yak Angler buddies and girlfriends out there, what you should buy. And I immediately found something in there that I just absolutely have to have, and that's the propane-powered coffee pot. Did you see that?
Along with the gimbal, along with the gimbal mount for the kayak.
The gimbal mount for the kayak? I'm just totally down for one of those propane-powered coffee makers, man. Never again will I be without my Java.
We have all kinds of propane and propane accessories here.
That's right. You got any conduit?
We can do anything if you want.
And also hitting the street this week was a really interesting story, one that we were chatting with just before we went live on the air. But I don't know if you saw the guy in the Hobie kayak that got kissed by a shark, a big shark. And that is on yakangler.com also, the story there. But and I think we have joining us now. Yes, it is. Hold on, where are they? We got too many doggone sound bites in here now.
How do you get rid of them?
I have to go in and edit them. Hey, Dee.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Good. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, no problem. Anyone who could raise two Marines and be six on the list after and carry the entire Kayak Fishing Radio Kayak Wars team can show up anytime she wants.
Thank you.
How you been?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just want this wind to lay down a bit so I can get a couple more points. It's the last part of the journey, I guess. It's ends in December. I don't even know what date, but
right.
It's been a long journey.
and you've been carrying us all, so.
Well, everybody get in there, man.
All I caught was dink trout and whiting this past weekend. Nothing to put on the board. Sorry. And I wasn't even, I would have had to drag my kayak down to the sand and just sat there. And then they were still not big enough. So the wind was just, we were in a little.
You were talking about that shark, right?
Oh, well, yeah, we had just started talking about it. Well, that was insane.
That would be one to put on the board, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, that guy should, right? You know, he just measures the bite radius, estimate the length, take a picture of it. He's got proof, right?
I bring that up because based on my calculations of that one redfish that I brought into the kayak with half its body missing, it exceeds the Kayak Wars redfish length of all time. So,
wow.
hopefully it sticks, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I spent, I swear to God, 2 weeks trying to figure it out, calculating based on size of other people's fish, girth, you know, whatever. And yeah. I think that it's the biggest one. So
no, you just had you just caught
with
a
redfish. Shark.
You just caught a redfish with the world's biggest head.
Yeah,
you caught caught a tree hugger redfish, and it's only 12 inches long. Just had a big giant head on it.
Yeah, well, see how that goes.
But it's like a catfish, man. They're 90% head, you know, especially the big flatheads.
Up in Wisconsin, north, we call them bullheads and stuff, and that's what they're called. They're bullheads, you know, bullhead redfish, bullhead, you know, catfish. So go for it.
So you got a bullhead redfish. That's right.
That's right, baby.
Well, it is the it's the season, and like I said, Yak Angler just came out with their Christmas wish list. Did you see anything in there you would like?
Me?
Yeah. Did you look at the wish list, the Christmas wish list?
I did. I do like the net. I'm not sure I'm good with the material that the net is. The actual netting itself.
Do you like the rubber net or the cotton net?
I like to use anything that doesn't hurt the fish as much as possible,
right,
because I am one of those people that like to use a net, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm not as strong as a lot of people, so I can't pull that fish in as easily, but that would be good. The trolling motor is not there. And
trolling motor didn't make it.
No. But another wish list, which I don't know if people have seen, I've posted on my Facebook, is Greenfish came out with a phenomenal camera mount, and I've been investigating these for months and months, even, you know, making your own, what's the best way to go, and it looks great. I just need a couple questions answered from them right now before I purchase, but if Mark can get one from Yak Angler or Adam to do a test run and let us know how it is, go for it, because I think that is a really, really cool product.
Yeah. That one you posted from Greenfish, right?
Right.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool. There's also Scotty just came out with their mount not too long ago, but it's real short, right? It just fits into their regular mount, and it has a clip for the GoPro and the little screw-in thing for a regular camera tripod mount. It's got both on it. It also has a little curve and stuff. But
right,
it's real short.
There's another one. But
yeah,
the,
and then
see,
there's
the
one
the
from
problem.
Yak.
They work great when they're short. But I think people are looking for something taller and longer, and I'm looking personally for something that's a little bit more telescopic. So that when you carry it, obviously, in your kayak, you don't have something that's so big. You know, you can make it compact.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the name of the company that kind of models after, or actually this was taken off of. And what comes to my mind is Joby.
Joby?
J-O-B-Y. Let me go back over there. But that would be another one. They have like a tripod style, but it doesn't actually mount to your kayak. You have to kind of connect it.
Oh.
Joby.
I don't know.
Yeah, a Gorilla Pod.
Oh, the Gorilla Pod, yeah. Okay.
Has anybody seen those? Check those out. And it's
that's like got
the
little three legs, right? It's like a little
right.
tripod.
But the one from Greenfish is using that adjustable
kind of flexible
thing
section.
Flexible.
Yeah,
right.
Mr. Anyway. Becker, have you seen anything in the wish list that you want under your tree?
I am embarrassed to say that
you haven't seen the wish list.
I have not had a chance to peruse the now infamous wish list.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Rob?
Yeah, glad, long-time listener, first-time caller. Glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, what do you want, Mr. Becker?
Yeah. Tell us Tell us what you're wishing for.
What do I want fishing related stuff? Well, actually, I just told Junior Flyreel tonight, as a matter of fact, that he should ask for a fish grip of his own for Christmas to put on to use with, quote, his kayak.
Right.
I don't know. I think I've pretty much got the boat set up the way I want it. Pretty good on rods. The one, you know, if I had to add something, I would like a heavier duty saltwater casting reel setup. I messed up my right wrist a bunch of years ago, and it's very difficult for me to reel right hand. It's very uncomfortable. So all of my bass tournament casting reels back in the day were all left-handed, which guaranteed that nobody would borrow them or steal them, but because everybody's too used to switching hands. But I've been looking at like the Daiwa Pluton and a couple of those other reels. They're not not big monster reels like the bigger pens. They'd be great for throwing plugs for tarpon with lighter weight gear. I'm more of a lightweight gear, rather underweight than over, and still still handle the fish appropriately and respectfully. So if I had to pick something for fishing, that would probably be it.
Okay. Cool. That new Curado 300. That's a heck of a bait caster.
It is sweet.
Yeah, you got one, didn't you, Wheeler?
Oh yes, I do. I have two now.
Is it much bigger than the regular, like the Curado 300?
it's a beast, man. Give you an idea, I put it on a surf fishing rod to try to unspool the sucker, and I still had about 75 yards of braid on there.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. The 300 is a good reel. It's a good all-around reel. Just got to take care of it a little bit more.
Well, the regular 300 just has the same two-button knob handle as every other Curado. The EJ is the one with the power handle.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go big, get the power handle. It's by far nice to have, and I wish I could put it on my smaller Curados.
Are they making it in a left-hand series?
Nope.
And actually, in the from the chat room, Hammerhead just said, check out the Avid SX, and if you can wait until the Boondoggle, I'll bring you one to try. Or actually, I could just put it in a box and send it to you. I haven't been able to find a rod that balances it out real nice. I've got the SX with the magnetic backlash thing and all. It's a really sweet reel. It's smooth and everything, but I just haven't found a rod that it balances with. It's a real beast of a reel, but I do like it. I just
switch to a acid wrap rod.
A what?
You have acid or I always know them as acid wrap. It's the I think I showed it at the Boondoggle last year. The rod that had it's a conventional rod with the guy just run around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will negate any twist due to the size of the reel.
Yeah.
And that's you see that on 99% of your or the ones you know about it, 99% of the charter boats is deep dropping, where you actually get to crank them up using those big reels.
Uh-huh.
It's a godsend.
And also, just in case Santa is not reading the chat room, Jason Self said he would like 6 more GoPro HD2s for Christmas if Santa is cruising the chat room. Just so in case he listens to the podcast, Jason, he'll get that.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
What is the difference in a lefty or a righty of the bait casters? You just can't swap handles. I'm not a bait caster person, so.
No, the construction's completely different. The guts are, it's not like in a spinning reel where the mechanics are down on the bottom. You know, the mechanics are integral to the reel, so all of your reeling stuff is on the side of the handle, if you will, and the other side is just bushing bearing and possibly weights, right. You know, and some magnetic stuff. So that stuff really has to be 180 degrees in order for it to work. So they're completely different models.
Yeah, you can't just swap them.
This could be the reason why I've tried them and never was comfortable with them, because I crank with my right.
So you need a right-handed reel.
Yeah, if you
right.
crank with your right, you should be fine. 99% of the people who use casting reels that I've ever met, they're right-hand retrieve reels. I don't even think I've ever seen a deep-sea, level-wind reel that's left-hand drive.
And that's true. When I've gone deep-sea fishing, I've never had a problem cranking up a fish, and I've always had thoughts of, oh, my God, I'll never be able to do this, and I've had no problems with that. So it's just the way I've been casting and trying to work with the reel is what you're saying.
Well, and you're probably not switching hands, because for me to cast a bait caster, I have to use my right hand to cast, because my right thumb is the only one that's smart enough not to get a backlash. And then I swap hands so I can reel with my right hand. I hold it in my left hand to retrieve, but I cast with my right hand.
All right, and then it feels like he's fishing with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's really funny. I should have that, down pat. You know, I fish like a girl, first off. So if I'm casting, I actually hold the rod with both hands.
Okay.
And I would think my right hand thumb would be over the spool, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you let it go, and then you grab the crank and you crank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if you continue to hold the rod in your right hand, if you're a left-handed crank,
so it'd be natural, but I never got it to work well.
Yeah, switch the rod.
I kind of
looked
like Chip on the day that he lost that whole.
That was beautiful.
Spool.
That was a beautiful. And you know what I found out?
But it's consistent. I mean, I try, and I don't get anywhere, and I just gave up. So.
Well, and the other thing, too, Dee, is you have to learn, when you get a good bait caster, it's got these little weights in the side. There's a little plate that you can open up.
Right.
And you adjust those. Right. And if the weights are all the way out, it doesn't free spool as fast. It's kind of like the ballerina, right? She pulls her arms in tight to go real fast, or this ice skater, and they put their arms out to slow down. So you push all the weights out to slow it down, and you push all the weights in to go real fast.
And right. Well, I need a class. When we meet out in Chokoloski, we'll have to get a class.
That's right. And I found out, because after the goon there, I was taught a way to unravel the backlashes, and I demonstrated it to Greg and Bill on our trip to Cedar Key.
It was ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, I purposefully got a backlash in the reel twice, and then what you do is you pull the line out with your free hand until you find the point at which it's tied up. At that point, you lock your drag down. And you start, and you put your thumb on top of that point and reel against it. And you just do that a couple of times, and then it automatically pulls it out. Except for the red Power Pro. The red Power Pro is kind of waxy or something, and it just doesn't want to do it. It gets stuck together.
If it's new, yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot do it with that new Super Slick 8 from Power Pro.
Really?
I have tried. And you're better off just taking it, putting it up, the reel up in a tree, because the seagulls and ospreys are going to be nesting in the damn thing. I have tried. I just went through 200 yards of the stuff because I got a backlash in it. I'm trying to pick it out, I learned it on Bill Dance, how Bill Dance does it. And it wasn't working. So I pulled out my picks and I started picking at it at home. I still couldn't get it out because that stuff is insanely slick, and it just dug itself all the way in. And so I cut it all out, re-spooled it, and I'm back to my vicious stuff.
So we'll do some schooling on it down in when we boondoggle. So
that's
If you're listening to the podcast, The Boondoggle, kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle will get you to the particulars for our next big event, which will be February 17th through the 20th. Those are the core dates. Folks may arrive earlier or stay late as they choose, but everyone should be there who wants to be there and be seen and be square with the folks from Kayak Fishing Radio and yakangler.com. We will be in Chokoloskee, Florida. The main event will take place out of the home base of CIP with Chokoloskee Island Park. And we're going to have a great time. So, it's just going to be fun. There's going to be all kinds of good stuff going on down there. Shark fishing off the dock at night, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the water temps going to be like down there around then, Bill? Is it going to be warm enough for sharks?
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
All
that
right.
place is loaded with them.
Okay.
You don't want to go wading at night.
Okay. No wading. What kind of sharks are we looking at? Like black tips and bulls and stuff?
Lemons. Mostly lemon sharks. And get some black tips because you'll get them jumping. They'll start jumping out just past the light where you really can't see them.
Right.
But mostly lemon sharks.
I got like a big 2 million candle power spotlight I should bring along, right, so that we can put the light on it.
Well, yeah, once you get them whooped and get them close, but you start shining that light on them too soon and they get spooked, you know, and then they'll start
to make them fight harder.
Yeah. You lose a lot, though.
Cool.
That's not a bug, it's a feature.
That should be fun. So
nighttime shark fishing out of a kayak.
Quick question. Has anybody started any thread or anything on Yak Angler for what to bring? I'm not. Yeah, how to rig things. Tackle. You know, basic stuff.
Okay.
I've never fished on there. I'm sure it's different.
Well, we could probably start one now.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, we could. I mean,
the water's a lot dirtier there because you've got a lot of the rivers dump right into Chokoloskee Sound. So that water is real stained. Pink lures seem to work real well.
Oh gosh.
And, you know, of course anything with
Chip, you're all set.
White, pearl, that kind of stuff works real well, too.
Okay.
But for some reason, pink is a popular color down there, and it seems to work.
It's like bubble gum, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know.
So I can bring a white lure with a pink tail, and I'll do great.
Possibly.
Yeah. That could work. Do you got any of those... Those 12 fathoms in that color?
Thus the question.
Do you?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll bring a bunch down.
The electric chicken, right? That's got pink in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That might be.
Pink and chartreuse, yep.
Believe it or not, we had good luck with the inline spinner type baits.
I can't remember how to make those names.
But we'd rig a gulp shrimp on an inline spinner and just throw that out around the oyster bars, and it was crushing fish. So those work real good. A lot of oysters. That's the thing. There's oyster bars everywhere, so you got to think of weedless type lures, that won't get hung up in those oysters, because that's where you want to fish. You want to fish over those when they flood. but you've got to, you know, you've got to rig it. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get snagged up on them, so just be ready for it.
Yeah.
You probably don't need fluorocarbon lure leader because the water's so murky down there. You could probably go with, like, 30 or 40-pound just regular mono would work. You know, I used 40-pound Andy in that stained water, and it seems to work okay.
Are you going weightless?
No. No, I'll go like 1/16 to maybe 1/8, like 1/8 in the passes. Now, some of those passes are really deep, and the water's going pretty swift. So there, in those passes, like a white bucktail, a heavy white bucktail would work real good, because then you could bounce off the bottom. There's probably not a lot of oysters on the bottom. It's just broken shells and, you know, kind of a hard bottom, and you could bounce it off those deep cuts and the deep passes. But you'd have to get something that's heavy to get it down quick, because there's going to be a lot of current going through there. But the rest, in like around the oysters or over the top, I just use like a 1/8 ounce or maybe a 1/16 ounce exude pearl, RT slug and pearl, and just, you know, work it across the tops of those in the top water. You know, your favorite top water.
Awesome.
Okay. Go ahead, Dee.
I'm done.
You're done? My Mark Lozier
also
there.
Also information right there.
Yeah. Mark has said that at MarshWorks there, they make inline spinners. So I told him to bring us on down some. I told him and Chris they need to come down. Yeah, Greg. No, Greg, it's a right-hand retrieve, not a left. Sorry. I also like the inline spinners I make is like the Terminator ones. Who's got the rock and music in the background? So inline spinners, not necessary to spend the money on the fluorocarbon leader.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you need it. Now, once you get out, like once you paddle to the outer island on the outside of the pass, the water clears up out there, then you might want it. But if you're going to fish on the inside, like around the rivers, around CIP in that area, the water's pretty stained, so you could probably get away with not using it.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that one day I want to head up into the river areas because I think there's going to be some tarpon up there. And we got a clone that needs to catch a tarpon. So.
There's a big tarpon up the Turner River, which is right. If you go drive straight across the island to the east side, and it's straight right across, and you just paddle over there and go up. If you look at it on Google Maps, you follow the Turner River up to where it forks, right there. We saw plenty of big tarpon there.
Sweet. What was I going to say? I just had a senior moment.
I've
tarpon.
I've had a lot of those lately.
You've had a lot of those. Must be the cold. My brain is like freezing. And slowing down, right? It, like absolute zero, the electrons don't move. So the colder you get, the electrons don't work too well. The synapses are not firing properly. Bob Bramlett called me the other day, Bonita Bob, and he said that he's got a side trip planned for whoever wants to join up. It's a 20, 30-minute drive, I guess. It's a landlocked lake that he says has all sorts of invasives in it, and peacock bass, big cichlids, Oscars, those big orange fish, you know, this African cichlids and stuff. So whoever wants to go up there and do that. And I might remind those.
Landing crew wants to go, but he's over there twitching, like, you know, and having a seizure.
He's down on the floor singing Soft Kitty.
Yeah, I'll sleep better tonight with that in my head.
I just threw up a little bit and I'm not.
Oh, don't close your eyes right now. Oh, too late. so that'll be a cool side trip. Also, Bill, you mentioned something about maybe taking a run down to Flamingo, right?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you said something about going down to Flamingo.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, I'm up for anything.
Yeah, I'm up for fishing. And
I might not even bring fishing poles with me.
Now,
oh, that's not true. That's not
now
true.
the other part of the linear equation there, known as D squared, will have only a fly rod. So I'd be interested in getting some schooling from D Kelly on that, because she only fishes with a fly rod down, and she has. That's your roommate, right, Dee?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that whole portion out because I do have a dog. And
you do have a dog.
And a wonderful fiancé who's wanting to go. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's going to show up, too.
Potentially, yes.
So we're going to get to meet Mr. Kaminsky.
No. But okay. It's Mr. Keeney.
I thought anybody that would even be close to hanging around with you would be humble enough to take your name.
Oh, that's so sweet, but I'd be humble enough to take Mr. Keeney's name.
Mr. Keeney's name? All right.
Yeah.
Well, people will mess that one up, too. So.
I know. Wouldn't that be hard? Because he was a magnificent golf player.
Oh, really?
If anybody's into golf, they'll look up Mr. Keeney. Yeah.
Let's see, fishing or golf.
Although he's not the guy I'm marrying.
Oh, okay.
He's magnificent.
Okay.
All right,
that's a story into its own. All right.
Correct.
But anyways, so let's see what else. Yaksushi just hit the street, so he's gone. What else are they talking about in the chat room there? Just to make sure we're not missing any good threads there. 20 feet at the coast. Holy cow, man. Talking about over in Jason's area, him and the nothing out there in their dry suits. You can just, and fighting the big giant sharks that like to eat Hobies. So let's go back real quick before we run out of time here. So you're in your Hobie with the little wiggly fins underneath, and there's a big rock island with pinnipeds, which are also known as seals, that swim around. The food of the big giant, the great white, the white shark, doesn't seem like a good idea. But how many people would not have to change their drawers after an event like that? The guy said he got lifted over 10 feet into the air after the shark breached underneath this Hobie. Would that get your heart rate up just a bit? I don't think...
Yeah, once it started again, yeah.
I don't think I would have touched the water. I think that boat, me, everything would have gone up in the air, and there would have been lots of movement, lots of frantic movement, but I don't think I would have touched the water when it came back down.
Like cartoons, you just see the cloud and you hear the ricochet sound.
Yeah. Either that, or it would have been more akin to a line drive over the mound and Charlie Brown loses all of his clothes. I'd have been laying on top of the Hobie with nothing but my tidy whities on, you know.
Yeah, well, that took care of the laying on the floor singing the little kitty image. Flushed that right out. Pardon me while I get some battery acid to pour in my eyes.
It's like the sun.
I just thought it was really interesting, in you know the sense that you know that thing actually you know hit him like you know like breaching, because they said that they only do that in like South Africa. That was pretty cool.
Wherever there's seals, they'll breach. I watched a show last year where they went to all the major great white spots and were able to make the great whites breach on the seals. So,
yeah, even Fisher and those guys, the shark dudes, they said that they proved that they would do it. They
did it out in Zoflam, which is that south feeding location, whatever they call it. So,
you have to think that most of the people in California that are staring out across the water have a 1,000-yard stare, not because they're looking out over the water for sharks breaching. They just can't see anything. You know, they're just out there staring, man. So,
there was a guy, you know, the surf culture is really big out there, and I know some dudes out there that do that stuff. And they're like, you know, I'm like terrified anytime I see something like that. I'm like, man, who goes out there surfing like that, you know, when there's stuff like that in the water? And they, you know, so he sends me this video, and he's on a stand-up paddleboard out there with a GoPro on a stick, you know, on a pole, and he's sticking it underwater, and there's like, you know, 8 and 10 foot great white sharks swimming around under. I'm like, really? Wow. And it wasn't just like, you know, well, you know, they're just swimming by or something. They were like swimming around in circles, you know, kind of checking them out and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. He could have been like on a stand-up paddleboard, you know.
And got breached on.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, I really think that those little flippy finner things underneath the Hobie probably had a lot to do with it. I mean.
Oh man.
You know. So and the Hobie was the that dark green color, you know, kind of that putty color. So
I wonder if
it
that would
been just a dark shape with little fins hanging down in the water. Look like a big, so, and I've always been taught bigger bait, bigger fish, right? So a 13-foot sup, you know, okay.
Wow.
That's going to be a big shark. That was a huge bite radius on that thing. I mean, it went from one of the pontoons all the way past the center line of the boat.
Have you seen the elephant seals? I mean, those aren't small, and I'm sure that they probably have those out in that neck of the woods too.
Those are my cousins, man. Yeah. So. Yeah. No, they're just huge. So. I'm not really totally, you know, afraid that some shark is going to come up and eat me, because I don't really see myself as shark food. But I just don't think that it's. I mean, I'm sure that I wouldn't taste good. But. But I just don't think it's smart, you know. I mean, not only are you putting bait in the water, but you're also swimming around, you know, you're around there with the bait from the big giant shark eating ground, you know. Like Bill was saying earlier, you know, the little rocky island out there is just full of seals.
I think it would be cool to see, you know, if I was out and I saw something like that, like a, not seeing somebody get hit, but like, you know, just seeing a shark out there like that, you know, like a great white or something, that would be really cool for a few minutes.
Yeah, Jason's but, like, how cool would it have been if the guy would have had a GoPro going, right?
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, that would have been sweet. That would have been the GoPro video of the day.
I just don't see how that guy... I wouldn't have been able to get back in the water and flip the kayak back over. Sorry. That took a lot of something, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I may not have been making like Jesus, you know, walking on the water, but I'd have been wading pretty high. I mean...
Well, y'all know that the way they fish down here, surf fish for shark, is for the guy to go out with a raw chicken on a paddleboard and dump it out far behind a trough, right?
Yeah.
And it's hooked up on a big hook and a cable connected to a winch on the truck. So when, you know, the shark hits, they pull it in.
Right.
Sharks are you talking about?
We're talking 6-footers.
Cool.
I'm 5'5", and those are 6+. And they're out there throwing that chicken in. I would never do something like that.
Or you're going to be shark fishing with us on Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at Chokoloski.
Well, I'll pull in a 4-footer, but I'm not going to go pulling in a 6+, I hope.
We going to see any big ones like that, Bill?
Yep.
Any 6+?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We're going to bring
all that big.
I'll bring the big lever drags.
All right.
I'll bring in my meat rod, man, definitely.
I'm there as your meat rod? What?
Not only is they going to jump up on the dock and take a bite of it.
Oh, crap.
The euphemism.
The big old meat stick, man. The big old, the ugly stick boat rod, man. That's coming. Just,
there you go, Rod.
Oh, that.
That's my miniature towing rig right there, man. It's like 65-pound Power Pro. It's all set.
Dude, I think you can't take that one back.
You may have to edit this podcast, Chip.
Yeah, we're going to have to edit this one.
Oh, my God. You all have one-track minds.
Oh, my God.
No, we don't have one-track minds, but there's one track that's always on. It's just a matter of where the volume control is set.
that's about it.
Well done, Mr. Becker.
Yes. Well said.
Am I the only girl on right now?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, God.
And you're the one that called it right there. Boom.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You guys are terrible.
So, Rod. Rob.
Man, come on. I'm like talking about fishing here. What
yes, we are. That's it. We're talking about fishing.
Oh, there's ugly stick meat rod. It is pretty funny, though, man. Leave it to me.
We're going to have to send this one over to Boudreaux and the boys.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Transcripts are available for $4.95 by going to...
That's right. We'll have to get a transcript of this one. Rob, you know that intro you were... Some of the clips... Yeah, you're going to have to cut that one out and stick it in there.
Oh, God. And that's your intro, not mine.
That and the red wiener.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, if you're listening to the podcast, we're talking about fishing.
The previous 4 minutes of dead silence were brought to you by the letter Q.
It's always me, man. It's always me.
It's pretty good. Hey, Bill, did you think that was funny? Hello, Bill.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Bill's like the old guy Muppet. He's up in the little balcony here at the studio.
Those guys suck.
All right, Jason's got to go. All right. So we're about out of time and about out of breath. So I think we'll just have to say what?
I'm crying.
I am too. I'm with you. I've been wiping my eyes for a while.
So as we go out, we're gonna have Wheeler sing "Soft Kitty" for us and. All right. Well, thanks everybody for showing up. Make sure you check out the Christmas wish list, yakangler.com/Christmas. for all your kayak angler Christmas wish list needs, and check out yakangler.com, yakangler.com/boondoggle, or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle for the upcoming event in February, President's Day Boondoggle, our second annual. And we've got about 24 people signed up now that'll be showing up to that. So we're going to have a good crowd, a lot of fun. We'll probably be laughing there too, I'm sure. So, Wheeler, thanks, man. Bill, thanks for joining us.
All right.
Rob, it's always a pleasure. Miss D. And Mr. Becker.
Tidelines.
Tidelines, take a kid fishing. Don't let him listen to my show.
I think I want to update my Christmas list now.
Now? And what would that be?
Well, like later, but
later.
I'll be talking to Rob about just how to place that specific order.
Rob's already dropped off the line.
Eject.
All right. So we're gonna take it out with the new. With the new Kayak Kevin intro, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks again. Tight lines. Till next week. I'm Chip Gibson. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. Good night, all.